Well, this is such a fun time of year. It's spring, the beginning of spring, and so the one of my favorite things about spring is that winter is in the past. How many of you just are so glad that we're not going to probably have another snow for a while? That's kind of one of my things I look forward to. Spring, okay, well, here we go. We're going to have warmer weather, and part of spring, too, is that a lot of times you do cleaning. You can clean your yard. You'll see people out there. They're raking. They're doing all sorts of different things, making their yard beautiful so that the flowers can come up. The grass gets all nice and beautiful and green. And so there's just different steps that people will take in the spring for that. Maybe in your house, you will clean out stuff that, you know, you don't need anymore, you haven't used for a while, and so you decide, okay, I'm going to declutter things, or maybe do a deep cleaning. So maybe you're cleaning things that you don't clean all the time, but at different times of the year, you will specifically clean these types of things. And so that's called spring cleaning. And so in thinking about what I was going to share with you today, I thought about it in light of spring cleaning. Like, we can spring clean our souls. And so, you know, there's just things that sometimes we get settled into, a way of thinking, a way of doing things, a way of, you know, this is just the way that I've always done it. Or, you know, we can get settled and weighed down in certain things. And so so today I'm just going to kind of do a little bit of spring cleaning with you. And God can just show us things that will help us to be able to grow and to have new life in us. It doesn't matter how old we are. We can still have new life, new growth, new things that are happening in our hearts. And we don't ever want to get to the point where we're just so set in our ways and that we become just kind of crusty. Have you ever heard the term that, you know, somebody, they're just crusty? Crusty means that they're just a little bit not easy to live with, maybe. Not easy to be around. They're just kind of grumpy. And so we don't want to be crusty. We want to get to that point where we're continually, you know, like your skin, the dead skin falls off so that the new skin can be there so that we don't look crusty. You know, sometimes we have to put hand lotion on our hands so that our hands don't look rough and crusty. And so today that's what we're doing with our souls. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. And so let's look at 3 John 2. We'll say chapter 1, verse 2, but there's only one chapter. So it's the second verse. And it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health. May prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." And so this is kind of the text that I want to use today. So there's a couple things that I want you to notice. It says that you can prosper in all things and be in health, but it's related to something. It's related to your soul and your soul prospering. So that means that there can be things in my soul that can keep me from being able to have everything that God intended for me to have. And so I have to work on my soul issues in order to experience all that God intended for me to have. He wants me to have health. He wants me to be free from weight and from despair and from things that have tried to bind all of us. He wants us to be free from that. He wants us to prosper. He doesn't mind us having material things, but he does not want those material things to have us. And so we want to prosper in all things and be in health just as our soul prospers. And because our soul has to prosper, that's why we're going to do a spring cleaning right now. And so, you know, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit man is reborn. And so that is brand new. It's got, you're alive to God. You have access to Him 24/7. Your spirit man, who is the real you, will go with you when you go to heaven. That is what's going to heaven, as well as your soul. And so your physical body, it's going to change. It won't look this way, but your soul and your spirit will go to heaven. And so your spirit man is reborn, but your soul is not. You don't start all over. It means that you don't have a blank slate. It's like you can remember all your relationships. You can remember everything you learned in school. It's not a clean slate. So your soul is still active, even or is still the same that it was when you before you were saved. And so how we prosper our souls is by renewing it. We renew it with the Word of God. We put the Word of God and begin to see things the way that He sees things, rather than the way that maybe we have always done it before. And so we are renewing our minds. And then because that soul is prospering, things change in our lives. You know, we don't come to God having to clean up. Sometimes people try to clean up their souls before they come to God. And they feel like, oh, I'm too much of a mess. God wouldn't want me the way that I am. And He does not care about that. He's like, come to me as you are. And so what we do is we come into church, we make Him our Lord and Savior, and then we listen to the Word. We begin to read the Word for ourselves. We begin to pray to God. And as we do that, He begins to change the way that we see things. And He begins to change our soul. And guess what? It's not one of those things that He's very easy with us and how He does it. He doesn't expect us to change our soul overnight. He knew why your soul got to where it is today. And so what He does is He begins to help us. He begins to show us. He begins to open our eyes to things. And so He will, all of a sudden, in our relationship with Him, if we respond to Him, we will no longer have the same desires that we had before we were saved. We will no longer desire to do some of the same things. We will no longer be concerned about some of those things that we were concerned about. And how that happens is that God is just showing us that's not something for you to carry, or that's not something for you to worry about. And so we're looking to Him, and then He helps us. And so, you know, there's nothing that you had before you were saved that is too big for God to change in you. There's nothing that is too difficult. Sometimes, you know, we as a society, we have become, quote unquote, advanced. And so we have labels for all sorts of things. Now, things that we wouldn't have necessarily even 20, 30, 40 years had a label for, we have a label for that. We will call them like mental health issues, or we'll call them addictions, or whatever you want to put a name on it. There's names, there's labels for things. And it's easy to think that I had this before I was a Christian, and that means that this is the way that I am going to be the rest of my life. And the great, amazing thing about God is that He can break things in our life, bondages, addictions, ways of thinking. He can break that in our life and cause us to be free. And so this is what we were kind of talking a little bit about, spring cleaning our lives, because as we allow Him to move in our hearts and move in us and reveal things to us, we can become freer and freer and freer. And live the life that he intended for us to have. And so I'm just going to talk a few ways of things that, how can our soul prosper? What are things that we can do? And so the first thing that we can do is trust God. It seems so simple. Of course I trust God. Of course. But you know that there are things that if it comes, push comes to shove, and the word is telling us something, like say, I'll just say this for instance, like cast your cares on the Lord. And that means don't worry about something. And so the word tells us this is how you can live your life. And then you're in a situation and it looks hopeless and it looks hard and like there's just no way out. It's easy to want to worry about it and try to figure it out and try to do it yourself and spin round and round and round and maybe even pray and say, God, help me. But at the same time, you're trying to do it yourself. And you get, you know, you're heavy with that. If instead we just get to the point where we're like, no, I just trust you, God. I believe you. I believe that you are able to help me. I believe that you have the answer for me. And you begin to rest in him. He will help you grow in that area. He will begin to change the way that you see that area. Something that used to maybe be very difficult for you, all of a sudden you start seeing it the way that God sees it, and it doesn't seem quite as bad or quite as hard to do. And so as we look to him, as we look to God and his word, he will begin to show us how to develop that trust. How to look to him, how to honor him. If we look at Psalm 91, I love this scripture, verses 1 and 2. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I love to think of just being able to just rest, just snuggle up, be sheltered by God. There are sometimes, you know, we all have situations that we're going through at different times, and some of them can be very difficult. I love just that picture of being able to run to God, to be able to have his feathers, so to say. Not that he has feathers, but I'm just saying that's the picture here. That you run to the secret place. You just kind of snuggle in there like a chick is with a chicken. You just kind of nestle in there, and he's there, and he's just protecting you. He's sheltering you. He's watching over you. He's helping you. And so I'm going to dwell there. And you know what that takes to be able to dwell there? Trusting that God will protect you, that he will watch over you, that he will give you wisdom to get through to the other side, and that his word is true. And so if he says something in his word, it means that I can do it because I trust he wouldn't tell me to do something that was bad for me. And so I rest in him. I rely on him. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we can know that as we put the Lord first, as we seek him, as we run to him, we have what we need. We can trust him more than how we've always done things. We can trust him if his word says to do things one way, and then society is saying to do it this way, which one am I going to trust? Am I going to trust man's wisdom or am I going to trust God's wisdom? And so as we learn more and more to just trust God, to look to him and say, if you said it, I believe it. I'm going to do it. We are actually prospering our souls. Our souls are getting stronger. We're not tossed to and fro by everything that's coming at us. Another scripture that I really, really like is Psalm 46:1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. again, that gives you that picture that you can trust him. If he's telling you something in his word, you can be assured that it is for your good. And so he doesn't force you, though. The thing that is amazing about God is, like, even to become a Christian, he just is at the door and he knocks. And he's there. If you open the door, he'll come in. But if you choose to keep the door shut, he will be a gentleman and will not force his way in. And the same is in areas in our soul. He will, if you don't want him to touch something, even though he knows it's yucky and dirty and not good for you, he will not touch it. He will allow you to have the freedom and the choice and the will to be able to do things the way that you want. But he will still let you know, hey, there's this option. You could choose this. You could trust me in this, and it will go better for you if you do it this way. And as you choose to do that, then he will flood in and be like, okay, let me show you how to do this. You know, there's John 14:26. Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And so he will, the Holy Spirit will reveal his word, the Bible, to us. He will teach us. He will remind us of things that we've read so that those areas that need to be cleaned up, he will show us how to clean them up. He will open our eyes to be able to see it clearly. And then he doesn't just plant, you know, like, okay, just do it now. Come on. I showed you. No, instead he will come right alongside with you. In fact, we've got the greater one on the inside of us. And so he's right there at all times, empowering us, strengthening us, helping us. And so he is going to be coming alongside and helping you to make those changes as you allow him to. Another way that we can do some spring cleaning with our soul is we can resist the devil. The Bible says in James 4:7, says, therefore submit to God. In order to submit to God, you have to trust him. This is James 4:7. We're dropping down quite a few. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so as you submit to God, as you trust him, you are also realizing that there's not just God. Not everything that is going on in your life is God. This says that we have to resist the devil. So that means that there is another force, there is another influence that is trying to come in and to destroy or to take us away from the way that God has for us. And so when we open our eyes to being able to see, oh, this is not God, this is not the voice of my Heavenly Father, this is something else. When we realize what that is, we have to make a choice to resist. We have to make a choice. So there can be a thought that just keeps going on replay in your head, and it's like, you're going to lose, you're going to lose, you're going to lose, you're going to lose. Well, that doesn't come from God. God says, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. So God's way is for us to always triumph. So when we're having those thoughts, you're going to lose, you're going to lose, you're going under, you won't be able to pay those bills, you're not going to do well on that test, you're going to fail, you're going to have to drop out of school, out of college, or, you know, you're not going to do well in school, or all your friends are going to make fun of you if you do that. Those thoughts are not coming from God. And if we can realize when we're having these types of thoughts, wait a minute, that's not God. Then what do? Just keep letting it go over and over in our head? No, we have to do something. We have to resist that thought. We have to be like, no, I'm not going to believe that. God is my helper. He is with me. And you begin to say what the word says about you. You know, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. You start saying that. I will not fail. I will not fail because I've got the greater one on the inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will not fail. And so you begin to say what God says about you. When you are doing that, you are resisting. You are resisting the devil. And what happens? This happens when we resist the devil because the word says it does. He will flee from you. He cannot stay. He cannot go on and on and on and just keep badgering you. If you resist him, he will flee. He will not dominate your mind. He will not dominate your emotions. Because when you resist him with the word of God and you are trusting God, you are allowing God to help you to push back on those thoughts that are trying to make you think that you won't win, that you can't do what God has asked you to do, that God won't be with you. Let's look at 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Again, this is what the Bible is saying. This is Peter saying this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is a truth. There is God, and he is all powerful, but there is a devil, and he is trying to destroy. And so he is looking. It's not like he's this little cute little kitten. It says he's a roaring lion. He is aggressively trying to destroy. He is seeking. He is searching. He's looking for any area that you will allow him to come in, and he wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy your life. But we don't have to let him. Again, we resist him. We're aware, okay, we have God. If you think God is causing the trouble in your life, you won't resist him. You won't resist that pressure. You won't resist those negative thoughts. You won't resist the negative circumstances in your life. You'll just be like, oh, this must be God's will for me. So what? You're not going to resist. But when you know that you have an adversary, the devil, who is trying to come and to destroy you, you can be like, oh, not today, not today. I know who you are, and no, you have no power over my life. Verse 9 says to resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It means that the devil is trying to destroy. He's not just trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy whoever. And so we want to resist and stand strong in the faith of who God is and what his word says about us. And so in order for our soul to prosper, we can check, am I trusting God? Number one. Number two, am I saying that some things are God and it's not God? It's the devil. It's him trying to pressure me, and I need to resist that. I need to come against that. So those are two things. So I wanted to go over a few, some soul issues that are unhealthy and what they can stem from. And so sometimes unhealthy soul issues will stem from fear. The devil will cause fear, cause you to think. He will create this mirage of, this is what it's going to look like if you do something, this is what's going to happen, and it makes us nervous, and it makes us anxious sometimes. And so we have to realize that fear is not from God. God never leads us through fear. When God is showing us things and He is empowering us to do something. Fear makes you want to retract. It makes you want to quit. It makes you want to give up. And so we do not want to yield to fear. If we see something and we realize this is fear, we want to be able to resist that and say, no, I'm not going to give into that. If we look at 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so what that is that if we look at, I'll just read this real quick too. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So what this is saying is God is love. And so perfect, there is no fear in love. So God does not motivate us through fear. He does not push us. He does not try to get us to change things in our life by making us afraid of something. That is not how he leads us at all. So if he is not leading us through fear, then again, who is the one that's putting that fear on us? We have an adversary, the devil, who is walking around like a roaring lion. And so if we understand that this is not God, fear is not from God, we are able to see that, locate it, and resist it. And say, no, I resist. I will not be afraid. I will trust God. I will rely on him. I will allow him to I will run and into the secret place of the Most High. I will rest in him. I will trust him. You know, a lot of times it's fears that will create addictions. When people are afraid of something, they will, a lot of times they'll turn to something to try to get them to calm down. And so there's a number of things. They may look at tobacco. They may look at marijuana, they may look at alcohol, they may even turn to food. There's just different things that people will turn to try to relax. I just want to chill. They may watch something, scroll on your phone a lot. You know, I just need to relax. You know, but instead, if we will run to the secret place of the Most High, if we will just abide under the shadow of the Almighty, he is the one that will cause the true relaxation. And it's not that you can't do things that are fun and have a good time, but if that's what you're using to try to escape your fear or escape your problem, then that's where you can, if you're not careful, you can begin to be addicted to something to try to get away from that uncomfortable feeling, that uncomfortable thing that is in your life. But instead, if we will run to him and be in him, he will help us. He will watch over us. He will protect us. And so another thing that we can be careful of, if we see this is an unhealthy soul issue, is when we're in pride. Have you ever, maybe thought that you were better than someone or that you were better than something, too good for something? We have to be careful, because sometimes the devil will pump us up. What I mean by that, he will make us feel like we're really something. And we are in Christ. I'm not saying that we're not that, but I'm saying this is where the arrogance begins to come, that, I'm better than my boss. I'm better than my spouse. I'm better than my friends. I'm better than, if you have that kind of thinking, you can know that those thoughts are not from God. God will not make you be exalted above other people. But what he does let you know is that you have the greater one on the inside, but it is through him. It's in him. Our confidence is based in him. And when God does something in and through us, he ends up getting the glory. And so we have to be careful, because if we are the ones that are getting the glory, if we're the ones trying to do something so that we're good enough, we don't have to do something to be good enough. We're already good enough because of the blood of Jesus. And so we have to be careful, because if we're trying to compare ourselves with other people, that is a tool that the devil will use to cause us to have soul issues and cause us to make decisions based on, sometimes we can destroy our life because of pride, because we just think, you know, we're better than our spouse, so gonna go and, you know, split that relationship. Or maybe we're better than our best friend, and so we just end that friendship, because you just get to the point where you're tired of being around somebody that's not as good as you, you know? And then there's just different things that we have to be careful. If we see that it is evidence of puffing up, of arrogance, that voice is not God. God wants you to have good self-esteem, but he doesn't want you to be arrogant. Because that arrogance will actually cause you to make bad decisions, bad choices. And so another thing that, let's just look at this real quick. I'll give you a scripture for that. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem others better than himself." Again, this is just showing us this is a heart attitude that we are supposed to have. This is a healthy soul. If we're doing something because we want to draw attention to ourselves, or we want to be famous, or we want to be, the most popular, or whatever the motivation is, if it's done out of selfish ambition or deceit, we can know that that is not from God. That is not how he's motivating us. That's not how he's leading us. But then we can be aware, oh, I've got to resist this. I've got to resist this. And as I resist that, God will help me resist it. And the end result will be so much better. It'll be so much better. The devil has to flee when we do that. Another thing is of an unhealthy soul is bitterness. You know, when you're angry at someone and you just let it fester, you can be pushed to make really terrible choices and decisions. Trying to prove yourself to all the naysayers in your life, that's not how God leads you. He's not, you've got a chip on your shoulder. I'm going to prove to everybody I can do it. Or you just don't care what people think and you're trusting God. I care about what God says. God says, I'm worthy. God says, I'm righteous. And so that's where you're getting your freedom, is from that, not trying to prove yourself, not trying to show everybody else that said anything bad to you in your life. I'm just telling you, as you get older, the list gets longer. And if you're motivated by that, you're going to have a chip that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger on your shoulder till you can't carry that chip anymore. And it begins to hurt you. And so just shaking it off. You know what? I don't have to prove myself to anyone. God loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. And if the creator of the universe is okay with me, why do I care what anyone else thinks? I don't need to carry the weight of that, because it will cause me to do dumb things. It will cause me to hurt myself. As I'm carrying that, guess what? It affects my body. It affects my health. It affects my mental, how I perceive what other people think. You can get to the point where you think everybody's against you. And they're not. They're not even thinking of you. They could care less. But you think, because they walked right by you and didn't say hi, that they don't like you, and they have a attitude towards you. And they just are in their own world. They're not thinking anything about you at all. And so we don't want to let bitterness set in. Another thing is we don't want greed or envy to set into us. You know, this is tougher than you think, because we are bombarded with things on our phone that let us know how other people have stuff we don't have. I mean, all the time, you're seeing they have a better nose than you. That thigh is a little bit smaller than your thigh. It's like constantly, you can envy. You know, oh, it looks like they never have a problem. Yeah, that's because you're seeing 30 seconds of their life. You don't get to see the day in and the day out. Oh, that movie. I mean, that's the way my husband should be. That's the way my wife should be. Do you see? They wrote that script so perfectly. Why doesn't my husband or my wife talk like that? Because it's a script. And you know that those actors, when you look at the tabloids and you're in a grocery store and you see the tabloids, you know for sure that those actors don't live like that. But they sure can act very well in a Hallmark movie. Or in any type of movie, you know? So you want to go and look at this, that you're not... wanting to have what other people have is not what's going to make you happy. You know, having what your friends have in school, that's not going to make you happy. You can get a new video game, and you know what? In just a few days, that's not going to be as cool anymore, and you're going to need something else. And you're going to need something else. And you're going to need, and guess what? They have perfected this on your phone to make you have to keep getting this need met through my phone. No. So what we want to do is have our need met through God. He is our source. He is our source. And then when we're looking to Him, the things that truly matter are the things that He's going to put on our heart, and He's going to show us, and He's going to lead us, and He's going to be saying, yes, this is what's going to make you happy. No, a new game or a new bike or a new outfit or new shoes or all of those things. Those are not going to be the things that new car, new house. Everyone, you know that when you get something new, the larger it is, the more work that it is to keep it up. So you enjoy it for a while when you don't have to do anything to it, but there comes a point where this is not as fun anymore. Or when you have to make the car payment over and over every month, you know, or the house payment over and over and over, then it's not quite as fun. But if we will look to God, our source of joy and our source of contentment will come from Him. And it won't matter what we have, what we don't have. He is causing our soul to prosper. And as we are prospering in Him, guess what? It says our health is going to prosper. And we are going to prosper materially too. Because those things aren't the things that are pulling us. They're not the things that are motivating us. But it is seeking God. I didn't give you this, but Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So as we're looking to Him, the world will tell you, you've got to go to the best college, get the best degree, have the most connections, and that's how you're going to be happy. But there are people that have done all those things and they're still miserable, because that's not what brings contentment. What brings contentment is our relationship with God. And as we look to Him, as we follow Him, everything else will come to pass in our life. And there's not something destruction that comes with it. You know, you can have children and you can make that the center of your life, and it can destroy other areas of your world, of your life. It can destroy your finances. It can destroy your marriage. It can destroy other things. But if you have God first and you are doing things the way that God wants you to do it, then your relationship with your spouse can be strong. Your relationship with your children can be strong. You don't have to have one area that excels at the expense of everything else. You can have good marriage, good relationship with God, good marriage, good family, good relationships at work, good relationships at church. You can be involved and have a life that is very much satisfying. But our attention has to be on first things first, and that is God. And so I think we'll probably end right there. I'll just read this one so we have a scripture for the greed and envy. 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." So again, what are we trusting? The living God. And so as we do that, our soul prospers. This is how we do a little bit of spring cleaning. Am I trusting God? Am I resisting thoughts that are trying to destroy me and not realizing that those thoughts are from the devil? Am I resisting temptations that come at me to be in pride? Temptations to be bitter, to be greedy? Because if I'm doing any of those things, if I'm being afraid, pride, greedy, bitter, then I'm not allowing my focus to be on Jesus. I love Matthew 14 that talks about Peter walking on the water. People are like, he walked for a little bit and then failed. But he walked. He walked on the water. There's great and mighty things that we can do when we focus on Jesus, when we keep our attention on him and rely on him. Then everything else will fall into place.